From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of, you.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. From the beautiful and tropical Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the east coast of the Gulf of Mexico. This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 28th of April, 2014.
You have an incoming transmission.
The revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information. This is Radio First Turner.
The purpose of this program is to bring vital news, information,
and I'm your host, Mark Skogman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
Excuse me?
He is the most interesting man in the world.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Oh, really? I don't think so. Anyway, on this edition of Spectrum 360, we have multiple focuses. We have various political issues. We also have an ongoing remembrance of David Wagenvoord, the owner of the Tantalk Radio Network, who died exactly a week ago today, last week on Monday, approximately 9 a.m. We've got a brief remembrance of him as well. So, we're going to have segment one is going to be we're going to have an interview live via telephone with Gordon Chernyanky, or excuse me, Chernecki. I almost said Chernyanko, but he's not the premier of Russia. Okay, yes, Gordon Chernecki. He's an insurance agent, and he has a lot to say about flood insurance. We've got interesting information about the flood insurance crisis.
and what is the action that's been taking to solve that problem. So he's going to be calling in. We're going to be discussing that. And then in another segment, we're going to be talking about, just a number of things. We have also, there's a new book out. We're going to discuss that. It's called The Chairman, The Rise and Betrayal of Jim Greer. We'll discuss a description of that. And there's going to be a lot of other things as well. There's been breaking news over the last few days regarding the Trans-Pacific Partnership and President Obama's trip to Asia. We'll be speaking about that. Also, the Keystone XL pipeline and the Cowboys and Indians demonstration, occupation, whatever you want to call it, in Washington. So we'll be discussing that as well. And also, there's an event this coming Sunday that is going to screen the great documentary film, A Harvest of Empire, which is narrated and it was produced by Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now! So we're going to be doing all that in this program and more. So pretty cool. We're going to have a lot of stuff to do. So let's get right to it. Is our guest called in? Okay, very good. Okay, we're going to an interview here live in the studio. Well, actually live via telephone, what am I saying? With Gordon Chernecki. Now, Gordon, are you there on the phone?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Okay, very good. Gordon is 54 years of age, and he was born in New Haven, Connecticut. Moved to Florida in 1973. He's been a Pinellas County resident ever since. Attended Seminole High School, St. Petersburg College, and FSU, majoring in finance. And he was a vice president at Weyerhaeuser, Huntington Bank, and J.P. Morgan in the mortgage banking area. Gordon has extensive background in mortgages and insurance. And in 2003, he started Shield Insurance of Tampa Bay Incorporated and is currently the president of the company. Gordon has been an advocate for the middle class and a believer in keeping insurance rates low and fair to the community. Gordon led the charge to notify the public of the upcoming flood insurance crisis, or should I say, we're in the flood insurance crisis right now. And he's been a leader to establish more community knowledge and set forth a more stable marketplace with the consumer by way of flood insurance relief. And we'll be talking about what he's doing regarding that and the website www.firpac.com. That's F-I-R-P-A-C.com. And that's the acronym for Flood Insurance Relief Political Action Committee. And that the current flood law is due to expire in 2015. So we're going to be discussing that. I'm going to briefly read just a brief description of the website itself from the home screen, which gives you just a brief description of what the website is about. Here it is. The website is for building leadership to revise and improve Grimwater's Richmond Homeowners Affordability Act through revision with the federal government, state, and or private companies, and to help hardworking taxpaying citizens. What is worse than losing your home and everything you have worked for? Not much. We all hope for a Congress that makes for a better country. Please do not let flood insurance neighborhoods be destroyed by the mismanagement of Congress and the National Flood Insurance Plan, or NFIP, or through certain ideological groups. This is about American families, not misguided politicians. There are 8.5 million families who carry flood insurance, which is soon to be double or tripled in terms of rates with the new flood maps. And we count on elected officials to stand up for us. Instead, we get political games. So the website asks for you to please join, contribute, or volunteer to help the many people who will suffer job losses, foreclosures, and family breakups. Again, that website is www.firpac, that stands for Flood Insurance Reform Political Action Committee.com. And also, there is a Facebook website as well. That's www.facebook.com/FIRPAC, and that's spelled FIRPAC. Gordon, welcome to the program. What do you have for us tonight? Give us an update about the website and about the state of the flood insurance crisis.
Well, I think you've well said on the website. You know, to summarize the website, it's to act politically to preserve flood insurance and preserve American prosperity. There's 5.8 million flood policies in the nation. Many states are affected, Jersey, Louisiana, Florida, I think I mentioned, and Louisiana, 65% of the nation's domestic oil and gas comes by way of that state. There's many riggers out there and people who are paycheck earners that could be very much affected by this, by the reforms that are coming up. And, you know, we're fighting a lot of very strong political people. We're fighting the left. We're fighting the right. We're fighting these big, massive corporations that want to see flood insurance get expensive so they can get into the business and make a lot of money.
Wow.
But
that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people. And the only reason why this bill went through is because of the individual homeowners of this great country who complained. And Louisiana led the charge. They basically told their senators and their congressional leaders in that state that if you don't fix the flood bill, we're not going to vote for you. If you notice, both Republicans and Democrats in that state voted for the new flood bill, which is not the best for Florida, but is as good as you could get to get through Congress. When this bill came out, I felt real bad because I looked at everybody's voting records. I was one of the few people that early on spoke to many congressmen and senators before it came out to be the debacle that it was. And I just basically looked at their records. I spoke to them. Many of them didn't know what they voted for. They were not educated on it. Maybe the word lobbyist sometimes comes out to be a positive item in this case. But the lobbyists who were that should have worked for the homeowners of this great country, they never showed up. They never lobbied properly. It's a real debacle. It's almost something that a movie should be made out of with Oliver Stone or something, because the homeowners, when I go out and I take a photo of someone's house for flood insurance reasons, they come out and they all tell me the same thing. Everybody was afraid. You know, this congressman was afraid to tick off this person, and that person was afraid to make this senator, or this senator's running for president, so he or she doesn't want to say the right things. And they all say the same thing. Who stood up for us? So there's so much self-interest that came into play with this. It's not funny. This entire economy, city of St. Pete, Pinellas County, Louisiana, New Jersey, these economies and the states are very prevalent on flood insurance. For instance, with the new flood maps coming out, they're supposedly going to expand the V-zones, which are very expensive. V-zones are basically flood zones that are right on the water. But it looks like they're going to be, or sounds like they're going to be expanding that. So anybody who got an SBA loan, as an example, which are very hard to get, but those are often very hard-working, diligent entrepreneurs in this country that
yes.
take a chance.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And the government takes a chance on them because they're viable. They fill out 100 pages of paperwork. I know the processors that process those in the lending institutions are skilled processors. I mean, they really... You got to know what you're doing. But the point is, those are good working Americans. Those are kids, I say, usually younger people that are putting their life on the line. They're 6-7 day a week workers, and
yeah.
they could be in big trouble. And we want to go to bat for people like that. And we want to go to bat for everybody out there. When middle class does well, the country does well. But a lot of these people that do live in nice homes do pay a lot of taxes, and a lot of them have worked hard to gain what they've had. And there's a lot of retirees out there, for instance, in Holiday, Florida, a lot of widowed ladies that are suffering. And if they can't afford their flood insurance, they drop it. And God forbid, you could see what happened in New Jersey, all the people that were left homeless that couldn't afford flood insurance. Look what happened.
Yes.
So when these retirees end up in a school gymnasium with an oxygen tank, it's FEMA that pays the bill on that, and that goes into the program. And this is a very concerning matter to me because I know what could potentially happen down the line with flood insurance, because I hate to say that it's been mismanaged, but when you look at FEMA, it encompasses so much. It took into the expenses of the aircraft carriers off the coast of Louisiana when Katrina had their problems. It took into the debacle of Sandy, plus other storms. So, in a way, there is a national catastrophic program in the state, but it falls under FEMA. And then all of a sudden, these congressmen and senators in certain states say, hey, my pet project is oil and gas, or my pet project is the military, and my pet project is this or that. And if you guys aren't going to fight for the FEMA money, which is what happened here, we're going to take it and use it for my military base or for my railroad subsidies, et cetera. And that's what I didn't like, is that we were shortchanged. And the people that got shortchanged in this country are predominantly middle-class people. There are, in Pinellas County, Florida alone, there's I believe, about 700 disabled veterans that live in flood zones. There are also about that same number of Social Security disability recipients in those flood zones. And these are, this is Florida. You want to build in Orlando? Chances are you could be in a flood zone out there too. So this is Florida.
Yeah.
It's Louisiana. It's other areas of this country. And many of these homes are going to be getting perhaps stricter flood mapping when they've never had a flood claim.
Well, yeah, and let me jump in there for just a moment. I remember an incident a few years ago. It was on the east coast of Florida. I think it was about parallel with Orlando. Don't remember the exact location, but it wasn't a coastal area. It wasn't on the Atlantic Ocean. It wasn't on the Gulf of Mexico. But there was localized, very heavy rains which pooled and actually flooded homes, you know, where people did not expect it. So you can be not near the coast of the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean. You can be not near a river, not near a lake, and you can still get flooded if you get very localized heavy rains that pool and start to flood areas. So, the areas that are not flood prone can possibly flood. It has happened and it will happen again. And this happens in an area that I used to live in Pasco County. I see that frequently. There's a mobile home park that's right next to U.S. Highway 19, just north of Newport Richey, that floods frequently from just moderate storms. So it's not just the coastal areas. It could be anywhere.
Correct. And that's a common occurrence to have people getting flooded that never had a flood before, or they're not in flood zones. And you know, flooding includes mudslide. Mudslide goes under the flood program.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in Washington we had a terrible situation of a lot of rain, and basically half a mountain came down on a town, and there's a lot of people lost their lives, a lot of destruction, and that was that falls under a flood claim. But of course, knowing this is the way it is, and the way the money was fought over, it's disturbing to me when you have a program that works better than advertised. And it's basically you're fighting against the big lobbyists up in Washington. And it's something that we want to not be late to the party on this next time around. We don't want to be like what happened when the flood bill came out. Oh, no one knew what happened. They didn't know what they voted for.
And that's ridiculous. Their job to know that.
Yeah. Well, the lobby. What happened? There's two stories to really the way the flood bill went down. It was a undereducated bill, first off by the realtors, lobbyists. They never went to bat because of the realtors were complaining that when the government ran out of money, so did FEMA, and they couldn't fund their closings when people got flood insurance. There was no money to fund the flood program, so the transactions were delayed until. The government got their money. So when a government runs out of money, these are the things that happen. It's nothing but a bad nuisance to society. So they didn't want to have any delays anymore. And then the other one is that since nobody really educated anybody on the bill, or I'd rather use the word fight for the bill, the situation is that it was tied to the transportation bill, which was a big jobs maker in this country,
mm-hmm.
a lot of infrastructure
yes.
in your older big cities.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second bill was the BP oil settlement bill, so Louisiana led the charge there. And then the third bill was the tobacco flood bill. And that's how the Louisiana congressional folks all got off the hook, so to speak, is that they were very busy trying to get the BP settlement out to their state. The flood bill got tied into that. But in Louisiana, they led the charge. They had forums. They had forums where the cops almost had were an inch away from maybe, saying, let's call it, where you had angry people that said, I am a petroleum engineer, or I am a chemical engineer from Purdue University. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois, and I live in this state because Exxon put me here because this is where most of the jobs are. Domestically for the oil industry. I buy a nice house. My kids like it here. My wife likes it here. We like the school. And all of a sudden, I get a flood bill, which is outrageous. And this is a mess. And I'm here because of my job. And those people talked in that kind of mannerism. And again, they use the tone. You voted for this bill. You fix it, or I will guarantee I will campaign against you, and I will not vote for you on an individual basis.
Exactly. And now, what do you want the website to do specifically to further the progress on this issue? What do you want that to do, and how do you want people to interact with the website?
Well, the way it is right now, we want them to get involved with the website and donate either their time, their money. we need action and maybe a quick time frame because we are fighting big self-interest.
Understood.
So when this bill comes up again, when you talk to congressional leaders, they don't even know if there's going to be a flood insurance bill after December 31st of 2015. So it's based upon now what I can see is we're fighting many self-interests, and we need to have my PAC is much better than a lot of lobbyists. You know, a lot of lobbyists won't do what they did with one PAC called Jeb Hensarling's office in Texas. 14,000 people had either sent a professional email or a professional phone call describing their situation or what they thought the need for was properly fixed flood. It wasn't yelling, swearing, it wasn't threatening. It was like, you know, I live in a flood zone. I've never been flooded. The history shows it here. You know, why is this so difficult? I feel I lost the value of my home. Would you please reconsider this bill back to the way it was? And it was more along those lines. So a PAC can call a congressional office, like 14,000 of us in one day, and get their attention. And we can get votes, most of all. It still comes down to votes. Even if one of these large insurance companies, which some of them are, if they want to fight the flood bill and make it where it's only private so that they can charge people $15,000 a year, and then they'll enter the market, and then they're going to cherry-pick your house. You know, we need to fight those constituents who are not going to work against them. So we have the votes, we have the numbers, and this is what we want to do is get an organization together where on a heartbeat we can email everybody out to call your local congressman or woman, write email, fax, express your interest, do rallies, put signs in your yard, get people involved, get your mayors involved, get your chamber of commerce involved. Try to help people who could be in big need, like the people of SBA loans. Those are good, hardworking Americans. You know, someone who wants to screw somebody over with an SBA loan, I think you're going to have a hard time sleeping at night. So this is all for the betterment of this country. And if we don't fight, and we don't, and I hate to say that word, but I don't have any other choice. If we don't fight for the FEMA funds and what's right, someone else is going to raid the cookie jar of money. And whether it's the military or the railroad guys or the oil people or whoever that may be, they're going to take it if we don't fight for it. And that's what we need to do. You know, I think with enough of people, just like they did in Louisiana, many political careers were on the line if that bill wasn't overturned. Now, it's not the best of bills, and it does come up next year, and Florida didn't do much. You know, we have a situation here where it doesn't do much for second homes, investors, or commercial properties. So whether you're a SBA loan holder in small business or not, you know, the commercial insurance is going to be going up. So
okay,
we
very
need
good.
To do better. We need to look for private companies even. You know, let's get some kind of stability. But what we don't want is for FEMA to walk away or get so strict that all the premiums go up because, you know, there's no competition. That's what we don't want. You know, one CEO of a company said, you know, Gordon, if FEMA wants to go to 20, I'll come in and do them for 15. And I felt like saying, but you're not going to do the house for 15. You know, that will just kill our economy here.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gordon. This has been very informative. You had a lot of good information, and I'm so glad that the website is up and that you're starting to move with the FERPAC effort. So we'll be monitoring this and checking back in with you as time goes on to see what the current status of the effort is. Thank you so much for appearing again on Spectrum 360 for the third time, and always excellent, Gordon Chernecki. And Gordon, give us your contact information one last time.
Well, the contact information for FERPAC, it's FIRPAC.com. And the phone number there is 515-523-5663.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That was Gordon Chernecki. He's the president of Shield Insurance and an expert in mortgages, flood insurance, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of good comments there. Okay, segment two. I do want to continue with our remembrance of David Wagenvoord. David Wagenvoord, also known as Downtown Dave, was the owner of the Tantalk Radio Network, including WTN, where I'm broadcasting this program from right now. And he died last week on Monday in the morning about 9 a.m. And there is a nice brief obituary posted on the Tantalk1340.com website. That's Tantalk1340.com. That's the station and Tantalk Network website. And I'd like to read that for you just in memorial for David Wagenvoort. David William Wagenvoort, husband of Lola Wagenvoort, has departed Clearwater for that great radio station in the sky, WGOT. Oh, you got to love this. Dave, president of Wagenvoort Advertising Group, Incorporated, and the owner of the Tantalk Radio Network, authored the best-selling book on the subject of barter, No Cash, No Problem, How to Get What You Want in Business and in Life Without Using Cash. I have that book, and it's excellent. I recommend it. Dave attended Michigan State University on a golf scholarship. That I didn't know until I read the obituary, a golf scholarship. And then he served in Korea working with the Stars and Stripes newspaper. That's the Army newspaper, of course. Dave started his radio career in 1956, so he was doing radio when I was born. And he was known as Dave Wren, bringing rock and roll to Tallahassee. Dave quickly moved up the ladder of success to become owner-operator of over 10 radio stations from Hawaii to Tampa Bay, as well as a New Orleans television station. Dave brokered the sale of many radio stations and was dubbed the King of Barter by marketing guru Jay Abraham. Downtown Dave was Wagenvoort's final radio persona, delivering wit and wisdom in his shows and interviews on the Tantalk Radio Network. Dave is survived by his wife and life partner Lola, brother James, his five children, Alice, Toland, Barry, Michael, Sam, and Helen, six grandchildren, and his cherished dogs, Holden, Gilda, Roxy, Ragsdale, and Blue. And they are big dogs. These aren't small dogs. These are not lap dogs. True to his unique style, Dave wrote his own obituary and then moved on and made his final barter deal with it for his own funeral. True to form. Many thanks to Hubble Funeral Home and Crematory. A celebration of Dave's life will be held on Sunday, May 25th at 5 p.m. at Naughty Nancy's Food Shack on the grounds of the Tantalk Studios at 706 North Myrtle Avenue in Clearwater, Florida. So that's the obituary posted on the Tantalk1340.com website for you to read. There's also an audio remembrance as well, which has recordings of Dave broadcasting on the air and the radio. I am going to try tonight to play at least part of that, if we can find the time. If not, we'll do it next week. And we're coming up on our break. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to network news and commercials for 5 minutes. I want to remind you that to listen to the Spectrum 360 podcast anytime online, access the podcast by going to www.tantalk1340.com, of course. Click on podcasts and click on Spectrum 360. And also remember to like Spectrum 360 on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com and search for Spectrum 360 radio program. Click on the like button. More Spectrum 360 after the break. Stay with us. Thank you.
NBC News Radio, I'm Paige Hopkins. There are more fatalities from tornadoes that touched down today in Mississippi and Alabama. The death toll from this massive storm is at least 18. A state of emergency is being declared in Alabama. In Mississippi, a medical center was damaged in Louisville, about 90 miles northeast of Jackson. Patients are being transferred to another hospital. Tornadoes have also touched down in Tennessee. NBC's Al Roker says there's still a lot of energy left in this storm.
Tomorrow it moves to the east. Another volatile 24 hours before we are out of the woods.
New York Congressman Michael Grimm is out on $400,000 bond. He's charged with evading taxes by hiding more than $1 million in sales while running a restaurant. Grimm says it's a political conspiracy against him because he's a rising star. Ruth Marcus is a columnist with The Washington Post.
He's in a lot more trouble than worrying about really retaining his congressional seat. If the facts in this indictment are true, he's going to prison.
This is NBC News Radio.
As a home buyer in today's fast-paced real estate market, you need a competitive edge. You need an advantage that helps your offer stand out from the rest. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I'm excited to tell you how to get just the edge you're looking for as a home buyer. This brand new program is called Mortgage First, and it's exclusively from Quicken Loans. With Mortgage First, the name really says it all. Unlike a pre-approval, will verify your assets, income, and credit to underwrite you up front, giving you the upper hand on the competition before you even start shopping. As a strong, confident buyer, you can stay focused on finding the right place for you and your family, knowing you're approved by Quicken Loans. To learn more about Mortgage First, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Restrictions apply. Rate, terms, and conditions may change until final loan approval. This is not an offer to lend. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
The excitement happens every day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. You can find yourself in the water with a dolphin, feeding a stingray, watching our world-famous dolphin shows, sailing on our eco boat tour, and even having your picture taken with a dolphin. The Clearwater Marine Aquarium is home of the world's most famous dolphin, Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, filmed at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Winter lost her tail but is now healthy and swimming freely due to a prosthetic tail. Be exposed to marine life and more. Take a behind-the-scenes tour to see how the animal hospital works. View the animal's food prep kitchen, the vet's lab, the surgical suite, and rehab areas. The aquarium houses river otters, sea turtles, stingray, sharks, and a host of brilliant fish. Come to the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, or check them on the web at seawinter.com for more information. Open Sunday through Thursday, 10 to 5. Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6. Call 727-441-1790. Make plans to enjoy the day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, the official home of Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, a lasting memory.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a million-dollar view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is Michael, host of the Blind Matters Radio Show. And now we're on 1340 and 1400 on your AM dial every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5. We have a new show that's catered to the low vision, legally blind, and the blind community, people like myself. Tune in, listen, learn, and have fun every Saturday from 3 to 5.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
You're listening to the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 28th of April, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Skogman. I'd like to give a shout out to our studio station engineer tonight, Lee. Lee's on the board tonight, helping me out. So I'd like to say hi to Lee.
What's this music? You know?
This music is John Mellencamp, oh, really? Life is Hard.
Oh, I like that guitar lick. And I like the one on your intro as well. That's really... that one.
Thank you.
What is that?
Thank you. Well, the intro that's is actually, that's a highly edited version of I'm a Man by Chicago. And then also, in the introduction, the Spectrum 360 logo, that's something I did myself.
The one that you play out of there.
Yes. Yeah. And then, oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's interspersed with Spectrum 360
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
You did that on guitar?
I didn't do the guitar. I did it on keyboard, actually. It's a keyboard voice that sounds like a guitar,
yeah.
Is what I used.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
You can make a great song out of that.
Yeah, I might do that. Okay, on to the next segment. The book, The Chairman, The Rise and Betrayal of Jim Greer. This is a new book that is going to be released on this year, on June 1st, through Amazon.com. It's available for pre-order right now. I'm going to read you a description of this book. This is rather interesting, this book. Here we go. The Chairman, The Rise and Betrayal of Jim Greer, a Shakespearean tale of friendship and betrayal to rile Hamlet, is the harrowing story of Jim Greer, a man loyal to a fault to Florida Governor Charlie Crist, his benefactor. From 2006 to 2010, Greer served as chairman of the Republican Party of Florida. In 2010, controversies arose involving party finances and spending behavior by state elected officials. Despite evidence that supported Greer's claim that top party officials knew about the arrangements, Greer chose to end his trial and surprised many by pleading guilty in 2013. Greer trusted Crist to protect him from the onslaught of the Tea Party wing of the party, only to watch as Crist stabbed him in the back and helped send him to prison in order to try to save his own political career. It's also a political tell-all about how wealth begets power in Republican-led Florida state politics. The book details the secret deals, the dirty pool, the payoffs, featuring political treachery at every turn. It's also a personal inside look at the brotherly relationship between Greer and Crist and the ruthlessness of potential presidential candidate Marco Rubio and the Attorney General Bill McCollum. Wow. What a description, huh? That's going to be available June 1st on Amazon.com. I'm going to be reading that one. That'll be pretty interesting. Okay, segment four. The film Harvest of Empire is going to be screened on Sunday, the 4th of May, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Feathered Serpent Gallery. That's 1018 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33705. The screening of The Harvest of Empire will take place. There'll be a short introduction by a guest speaker regarding immigration reform needs, and then there'll be light refreshments will be served, and there's no fee for admission to the Feathered Serpent Gallery for that event. The Feathered Serpent Gallery is great. They've got a lot of great art there. I know the owners and the operators, and they're great people, and I recommend people go to the Feathered Serpent Gallery and attend this event, and also just go and buy some art from the Feathered Serpent Gallery. Great stuff. Okay. I also have the preview for the film Harvest of Empire, which is narrated by Juan Gonzalez of Democracy Now. Here's a taste of that.
Once again, the streets of our country were taken over today by people who don't belong here.
But when the immigrants come, they come with a culture of criminality. It's out of control.
They put a strain on our Social Security, our education, our health care.
They never teach us in school that the huge Latino presence here is a direct result of our own government's actions in Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central America over many decades. Thousands upon thousands of Puerto Ricans were actually recruited to come work here in the United States.
The feeling was we could very easily overthrow this progressive government and make it a lot easier for the United Fruit Company and other American businesses to operate in Central America.
From the very beginning, the West depended for its labor on Mexicans.
Are you a communist, Fidel?
Wait for the history. The history will say what we are.
I had never seen anything like El Salvador. I was more frightened there than Vietnam. What was going on there was the slaughter of the innocents.
When you finance and train a gang of uniformed butchers and they begin wholesale killing, the people don't emigrate, they flee.
The instability that we have contributed to creates the kind of chaos and disarray that leads to more immigration.
I believe in the idea of amnesty for those who have put down roots, even though they may have entered illegally.
That was President Reagan.
The reality is that America is changing. By the end of this century, a majority of the people will trace their origins not to Europe,
but to Latin America.
We're all humans. We all have the same abilities. We all have the same potential.
America has always been a nation in the process of becoming, in process of change. It is an immigrant nation.
Harvest of Empire. I'm not jiving anybody with cosmic debris. I've got the DVD right here. I'm holding it up towards the webcam so people watching on the webcam can see what it looks like. That's Harvest of Empire. It's going to be screened soon here in St. Petersburg. Okay, on to the next segment. Segment 5. I did an interview with Michael Fox regarding Progressive Democrats of America. I'm going to play that for you now. He's got some announcements to make. Take it away, Michael Fox.
Progressive Democrats of America, also known as PDA. There's a major event coming up for PDA in the next few days here. It's the 10th anniversary of the organization. Michael, can you tell me what your exact position is with PDA right now, and tell us more about the 10th anniversary event?
Sure, Mark. Thanks so much for having us on. I'm a national staffer with Progressive Democrats of America, actually wearing several hats. I'm euphemistically known as the phone guy. We have a nationwide phone bank that we throw in behind candidates. I run that. I likewise do some fundraising. I likewise do chapter organizations. So anything to help move the organization forward, they throw it on my plate, and I'm more than happy to try to scrape it off, as it were. As far as the event upcoming, thank you so much for mentioning it, because this really is a red letter day for Progressive Democrats of America. We're 10 years old now, started in Roxbury back in 2004 as some of the members of the nationwide Dennis Kucinich presidential campaign came together. They had seen the quite frankly distasteful way that Dennis was treated during the presidential run, not being invited to certain debates, televised, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a core group of folks who said, obviously, we need to take the Democratic Party back to its roots, and that's been PDA's goal since. We focus on inside-outside strategy, where we work within the party trying to help get good, solid, progressive congresspeople elected, and likewise hold Congress's feet to the fire on very progressive issues, working in concert with not only political organizations, but also unions, peace and social justice groups, et cetera, the classic street heat, as it were. And we're going to be discussing our victories as well as hopefully 10 years' worth of successes coming down the road here in Northampton, Massachusetts on May 10th. It's going to be quite the soiree. It's going to be from 9:30 in the morning until 4:30 at night. A boatload of dignitaries, including Bernie Sanders as our keynote speaker. Tom Hartman is going to be there. John Nichols of The Nation will be there. Likewise, Jim Hightower, the humorist, Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, just a plethora of who's who of the progressive movement, both in the media as well as in the activism world, as well as folks from D.C. So we're really looking forward to it, and thank you so much for letting us pass on the information about it.
Yes, so it's actually been 10 years now since Progressive Democrats of America was started, correct?
Correct.
I'm really sorry that I'm going to be missing it. That's a great lineup of people participating in the event. That is just going to be wonderful. I know I'm going to have to miss it. I'm very sorry about that now. So now I wish I didn't know.
But, well, you'll be there in spirit, my brother, much as you always are in any area where there's something progressive going on.
Absolutely, because I have been at Progressive Democrats of America events before, and notification of full disclosure for the audience, I am a member of Progressive Democrats of America, just in case you were wondering, and I have been to some great Progressive Democrats of America events. I remember the one in 2012 in Charlotte, North Carolina, during the Democratic National Convention. That was a great event. We had Alan Grayson and...
Was there as well, the head of the Progressive Caucus. John Conyers swung by for a while.
John Conyers, that's what I was thinking of. Keith Ellison, Emma's Revolution providing music. So this, I think, will probably even be better than the event that I was at in 2012. So, Michael Fox, thank you so much for speaking with Spectrum 360 today about Progressive Democrats of America on the 10th anniversary.
Thank you so much, Mark. And if anybody wants additional information, www.pdamerica.org is the website, or check us out on Facebook. Peace.
Great. Thank you. Okay, that was Michael Fox. He's one of the national organizers for Progressive Democrats of America, or PDA. And PDA does not stand for Public Display of Affection. Okay? Yes. Let's have a song. Is it okay? Can we have a song? Let's have a song. Well, I guess we're not going to be able to do that. Let's try it one more time. Okay, well, we're not going to be able to do that tonight. And I do apologize, there was some type of technical problem with the beginning of that last segment. But we are now going to go to Terry Weeks, associate producer of this program. She is on the telephone. She's not live in the studio tonight. She's live on the telephone. And we're going to speak a little bit about net neutrality and current proposals by the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, to change the net neutrality rules. Terry, can you tell us more about what is happening with net neutrality right now? Terry? Terry, are you there? I believe she's up.
Hello?
There we go. There we have you. Hello, Terry.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Great. Okay, because I got a lot to say, and I'm going to try and get it in the time we've got.
Okay, do it.
First of all, people might be wondering, what is net neutrality? Basically, what net neutrality is it requires the Internet Service Providers, or ISPs, that's your big guys like Verizon or Comcast or AT&T that you get your Internet from, to treat all content providers or websites the same. So they got to send you Bill and Ted's excellent website, just like they send you the big guys, Amazon, Netflix, etc. This has been great for the little guy. As you can imagine, with no barriers to entry, it's turned the Internet into a fertile field for ideas and information and innovation. So that's great. What's happening now, we've got a bit of a problem. In its infinite wisdom, back in 2005, the FCC decided that it was not going to class the Internet as a common carrier. Now, a common carrier is like your telephone. By virtue of its status, like your landline telephone, it has to treat everybody equal. It can't let me make phone calls and stop you from making phone calls. Because it's a common carrier, it has certain obligations. Well, the Internet wasn't a common carrier, they decided. So then they decided, well, we better make some rules to regulate the Internet. And they did. They made rules requiring net neutrality. Then one of the big ISPs, Verizon, to be specific, sued the FCC. And said that this net neutrality stuff is violating our freedom of speech rights because they are a corporation and apparently they have more freedom of speech rights than the rest of us, at least these days. That case made it all the way up to the D.C. Circuit, and Verizon won. The D.C. Circuit tossed out the net neutrality rules. Then the FCC said, oh, they threw out our rules. We better make some new rules. And they have, and we have just recently found out what they are. Under the new FCC proposed rules, the ISPs, Verizon, AT&T, etc., are basically going to be allowed to divide the Internet into two lanes, the slow lane and the fast lane. In the fast lane, you're going to get service that's good enough for your videos, your computer animation, your music, all that high bandwidth stuff that we like. The slow lane is only going to be good enough for about text and photos and not much else. Furthermore, they're going to allow the ISPs to impose fees on these websites. So they're going to say, hey, Netflix, you want your videos to run really smoothly on our website? You better give us another $150 million. They're already gouging consumers, these IFPs. They're monopolies, basically. You've only got one or two of them usually in your area that you can choose from. And Americans are paying more and getting slower Internet than almost anywhere in the country. But that wasn't good enough. Now they want to gouge the content providers, too. This is going to set up a really high barrier to entry. It's going to make the little guys, they're not going to be able to afford to do this. It's going to stifle all the innovation, not to mention the free exchange of information and speech that we've seen on the Internet. And you might even end up in a situation where some of the big guys don't even want to pay all that money. So you might get your Netflix running really well on AT&T, but not so good on Verizon. It's going to be a big mess.
Well, I can't imagine how bad this is going to be. I mean, think of telephone calls and imagine your telephone calls, they're prioritized and sometimes your calls go through and sometimes they don't, or sometimes they have poor quality, sometimes they don't, depending on how much money you pay.
Yeah, you so want mom to be able to get your call on Mother's Day? Cough up another $1 million.
Yeah, so this really kind of degrades the whole concept of being a common carrier in terms of the Internet, correct?
Because they're well, they're not. According to the FCC, they're not a common carrier. And according to the D.C. Circuit, the rules that the FCC imposed requiring them to be neutral weren't good. So now they came up with this instead. By the way, this is outlawed in Europe. Europe is heading in exactly the opposite direction as the U.S. on this. And these rules are going to be coming up on the agenda for the May 15th FCC meeting. That's when they're going to be talking about these. So you're probably wondering, can we do anything about this?
And yes, I am. Can we do anything about this?
I think we can. Do you remember when Michael Powell was head of the FCC?
Absolutely, yes.
And he was very much in favor of media consolidation.
Yes.
It looked like we were going to end up with two companies owning every media station in the country.
Yes.
And they had those field hearings, and there was a huge grassroots movement against this.
Yes.
3 million people actually wrote the FCC complaining about this. And as a result of that, what happened is the Senate voted twice to overturn these rules that Michael Powell wanted to see happen. The House also expressed their displeasure, and eventually the court said the rules were inadequate. So a grassroots movement really stopped this consolidation in media back then, and I think the only thing that's going to stop these rules now is another grassroots explosion.
Wow. Well, I was involved in that effort against Michael Powell's proposed rules back there. That was several years ago. That was, I believe, that was approximately 2005 and 2006, if I remember right. But that was successfully stopped, and there was a FCC field hearing in Tampa at the Tampa Bay Performing Arts Center.
That you attended, as I recall.
Yes, I not only attended it, I spoke to the Federal Communications Commission. There was a second one, I believe that was sometime in 2007 or 2008, and that was at the Marshall Center at the University of South Florida in Tampa. I also spoke to the FCC at that one. So I testified to the FCC at two separate field hearings, and it's so rare that you get a federal agency that has a field hearing, and we were successfully able to stop that. So I think we can do it again, but it's going to take a lot of effort, and it's going to have to happen quickly, I believe. Do you agree?
Yeah, May 15th, and contact the FCC.
Okay, very good. Now we're going to go to a segment of Democracy Now! This relates to President Obama's trip to Asia. This is a segment from today's Democracy Now! Program, and it has information about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Keystone XL pipeline, which is important for our listeners. Listen.
President Obama is in the Philippines today as he continues an Asia-Pacific tour. On Sunday, Obama faced protests at a public event in Malaysia over the Trans-Pacific Partnership. The secretive pact would establish a free trade zone among Pacific Rim countries, encompassing nearly 40% of the global economy. As Obama spoke at a town hall event, a group of demonstrators stood up in the audience and held placards in silent protest. Thousands of people rallied in Washington, D.C. on Saturday, calling on President Obama to reject the Keystone XL pipeline. The rally came 4 days after Earth Day, when a group of ranchers, farmers, and tribal communities from along the pipeline route rode into Washington, D.C. and set up the Reject and Protect encampment near the White House. The group called themselves the Cowboy Indian Alliance. During Saturday's procession, members of the alliance presented a hand-painted teepee to the Smithsonian National Museum of the American Indian as a gift to President Obama. The teepee represented the Cowboy and Indian Alliance's hopes for protected land and clean water. Legendary musician Neil Young joined the protesters who rallied on the National Mall, then marched past the Capitol building.
We're all children of Mother Earth, and that's why I'm here, because I feel we're all threatened by what's happening. As a planet, we're threatened. I feel that the fossil fuel age is ending. It's having its first death gasps, and we need to keep pushing. We need to stop this pipeline, which is bringing this really bad fuel from Canada, from the tail of the snake all the way down to the head of the snake in Texas.
Saturday's rally came a week after the Obama administration announced it had again delayed a decision on approval or rejection of the Keystone XL pipeline that would carry tar sands oil from Alberta to the Gulf Coast. The State Department says it'll await the results of legal challenges to the pipeline's proposed route through Nebraska. That means a final move would not likely come until after the midterm elections.
Okay, there you have it. That was a segment from today's Democracy Now! Program, hosted by Amy Goodman. Also, the narrator of Harvest of Empire is the co-host with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now! On that very program. Although he's not on every single program, he's on many of them as a co-host. So that's how many people would maybe familiar with Juan Gonzalez. Remember, on May 4th, Sunday, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Feathered Serpent Gallery, 1018 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, there's going to be that screening of The Harvest of Empire, light refreshments, free admission. A guest speaker regarding immigration will introduce the film. And I've been to events before at the Feathered Serpent Gallery, and they're really fun, great people there. And then you've got the great gallery. So look at the art and buy some art. There's great art at the Feathered Serpent Gallery. Wouldn't you agree, Terry?
Absolutely. South American and Central American art, and it is really amazing.
Yes, I would have to agree with that. Also, I want to announce that on Memorial Day weekend, on Saturday, the 24th of May, at 9 a.m., there is going to be another event conducted by the March Against Monsanto Group. Now, this is multiple sponsors for this event. The Stain Market in Ybor City, Tampa March Against Monsanto, Tampa Veterans for Peace, B Against Monsanto, and that's spelled B-E-E, as in honeybees.
The ones they're killing.
Yes. And also Occupy Tampa are the event sponsors for the March Against Monsanto. That's going to be Saturday, 24th of May. At 9 a.m., there will be a festival, and at noon, there will be a March Against Monsanto. This is going to be in Ybor City at 1016 East 15th Avenue in Tampa, 33603. Join the global food security campaign, demand labeling of genetically engineered food, and support sustainable farming practices. Okay, that concludes this edition of Spectrum 360. Next week, we had to reschedule some of the segments that I had scheduled for this program, program segments that were originally scheduled for this slot are going to be aired next week on next week's broadcast, so you will be able to hear them just next week. Okay.
Well, we will continue at another time.
So goodbye and hello.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Good night from Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.